Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story.
This is Mitch, by the way. I don't know. And this is Ashley.
Yes, hello.
I just assume you know each other here.
Yeah, well, you know, it's central Minnesota. I'm sure we've got some story somewhere.
You hope.
So we have Kayla and Mitch. When we recorded your first episode like 10 months ago, you were getting over like a...
Yeah.
Which is in podcast time. Last week for everybody, so they'll hear you sounding crummy and sick.
Sweet.
And now this week, 10 months later into the future, I am crummy and sick and getting over. So I'm hoping that I'm not going to have a coughing fit in the middle of this. But if we do, Abby does her podcast magic. So who cares? So we have Kayla and we have Mitch. So you guys are now going to tell your story.
Yeah.
To kind of recap last week, last episode was your story with your now late husband, Kyle.
Yeah.
Okay. Take it away. Where do you guys come in? Picking up for part two of the story.
All right, part two. Well, I will start off with, so after Kyle died in 2017, I just really was not ready to date, right? Mm-hmm. I knew mentally that I just needed time. I didn't know what that time frame was, but for some reason I had 1 year in my head. Like, I'm going to give myself a year. I didn't want an online date because I just didn't know how I felt about that. I ended up doing it for 1 week. One of my best friends had online dated forever.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even remember which app I was
on. I
don't
remember you.
What's the one? Playful. Bumble.
I saw it on Bumble.
Okay.
She doesn't blame me that I saw her.
I think you made that up. Mm-hmm. But I was on Bumble for a week. And no offense to anyone, because I know a ton of people meet online now. And that's kind of what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, to me, it was like you're judging a book by its cover. Like, oh, he's cute. What's he do? Mm-hmm. Let's swipe. And I just wasn't into it at the time. So after a week... I obviously never deleted my profile, but I took it off my phone. I'm probably still getting messages, Mitch. I took it off my phone and it was like, you know what? I'm going to meet someone the old-fashioned way. So fast forward to 4th of July, 2018. My parents lived on a lake in northern Minnesota. And obviously in Minnesota, there's 10,000 lakes. We are out on the sandbar on this popular lake with my best friend. And there's this pontoon of guys that pull up, and it's kind of hilarious now when we talk about it, but Mitch and his buddies were all very fit, so they
a bunch of ripped dudes on a pontoon
and my dad had
I'm sorry, is this heaven? How did this happen?
What's even funnier is my dad had one of his gay friends with him, and he's like, oh my God, why do they not have women? I need to go find out. And I was like, settle down. He's like, well, their bodies are glistening in the sun. And I'm like, oh my God. Anyways, so me and my best friend, Britt, are out there, and then we...
Is Britt also single?
She's single.
Okay, so and just a couple of single ladies and a gay guy
single,
that are just like
ruling. And my parents.
Yes.
Parents. So, you know, you're like, all right, whatever. So I think what ended up like kind of the sequence of events is it's a group of people they're with. Well, all of a sudden I was like, oh, hey, Bonnie, how are you? There's this lady that I knew that honestly I knew her through. We had worked together. So that was basically how I knew her. But her husband also passed away of cancer shortly after Kyle. So we honored him as well as an indie warrior and all of that. But anyways, Bonnie comes over to our boat and then I didn't say anything. My mom's like, any of those guys single over there? And I was like, geez, mom, like, that's aggressive. And she's like, no, I think they all have girlfriends. I'm like, of course, that's how it goes, you know, whatever. So I think the day progressed and then we end up playing Beersby, right?
Yeah, I mean, my buddies played you and Britt, yeah.
Okay, so his buddy and my good friend, we play Beersby. And by the way, we kicked their butt.
We let them win. We thought we were...
Sure. Bunch of gentlemen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you were actually terrible at throwing Frisbee, but whatever. So we're just playing Beersby with them. We maybe chatted a little bit. Was I on your side? I feel like I was on your side and Brittany was playing with Aaron. That was kind of it. And then we spent the majority of the day out there. And then you guys were leaving. And I just remember a bunch of people on your boat were like, get her phone number.
Yeah. Well, like, so Bonnie, that she knew
mm-hmm.
the group of people I was up there with, she, like, stayed right next to them. So I knew Bonnie, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's like when she found out she was out there and then she came back and asked all of us, like...
She did?
Like, yeah, is anybody dating or anybody not dating?
Yeah.
Whatever. And I was just like, yeah, I'm single.
Were you the only guy that was out there that was just, like, raised?
Yeah, I was the only one that was single.
And he was actually...
Buddies, yeah.
I wasn't like, I'll take... anyone of them. He was the one that actually caught my eye.
Yes. I didn't even realize that why she was asking. I thought she was having a conversation, you know.
Bum single. Just casually. Yeah. I walk into a room and I'm like, anyone of you dudes single in here? Yeah. Cash.
Nope. So that's all that kind of the connection started that way. Like, so she's like, well, I need you to meet, you know, one of these girls over here.
Okay.
And so, like, that is kind of how we got introduced right away, was that she's like, well, you got to go talk to her.
Sure. So then when your pontoon floated up, were you like scoping it out, or did you just, you were just like, whatever, there's a group of people. Yeah. Didn't realize that you were these like Herculean gods that like the whole crowd was drooling over.
Nope, okay. Nope, you're just going to go out there to have fun. But yeah, I wouldn't think anything of it.
Okay.
And then, of course, on a boat, you don't really have your phone on you. So he's like, I'll just give you mine. It's easy to remember. Yeah. I think he played that card more than once in his life.
It is.
So anyways, that was initially how we met. And then the next day, me and Brittany were running a 5K in Cross Lake. Okay. So I text him or whatever, and they're like, oh, we're going to Breezy Point. It has a bar on the lake. We're going to Dockside that night, and they always have a DJ and stuff. And me and Britt are like, well, heck, we might as well go out there too. So I don't know. I think we just sat and talked mm-hmm. for like the entire night.
Yeah, it just came up because you were with your brother and his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My brother. So I just came over and sat by you guys, like, just as, you know, whatever, how's it going?
Yeah.
Ended up sitting down, and we sat there for, yeah, the whole night pretty much and sat and talked with you guys.
So the rest is essentially kind of history. The funny part, though, about Breezy and us meeting, so one, Minnesota has 10,000 lights, yeah. So, like, that's super random. But what did one of your buddies tell you on the way up to the cabin?
Yeah, on the way there, we were just, you know, whatever, driving up, and he's like, Mitch, you know, we're going to find you a girlfriend this weekend. He's like, I got a feeling we're going to find you a girlfriend. I'm just like, yeah, okay, pretty sure we're going to do that. Yep.
Yeah.
I think at the time I was just joking, wasn't actually planning that, but it worked out that way.
Because you were the third wheel in their relationship.
Yeah. Yep.
They had been married for a while, and mm-hmm. you were just kind of always the guy that was there.
Yep. Right? Yep.
And how long had you been single before you, like, you're on your way up there? Is this like you've been single for years? And like your friends are like, dude, we got to get you somebody. I mean,
a couple years, yeah. Probably okay. 2 years or something like that, yeah.
Okay. So they're like, yeah, we're going to... Mm-hmm. It's time to get back out, get back on the prowl. We'll find you somebody.
Probably sick of me being the third wheel, so I was like, it's time.
Yeah, please find somebody.
So I asked him what he did, and this is funny, because he's like, oh, I farm, and I'm like, oh, God. Growing up in a Foley, you know, mm-hmm. farming community, I would never have dated any of the farmers that I went to high school with, so I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, I farm with my dad and my brother, and so that was a little bit of like, gosh, I don't know about this. We continued, and other thing was distance. So I lived in central Minnesota. He lived in southwestern Minnesota. So we were about an hour and 15 minutes apart. But I feel like you came up all the time.
Yeah. I mean, pretty often. As much as we could anyways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out really good because she had a good group of friends that, like, whenever time we'd come up, we'd go out with them and do something or whatever. And it just made it really simple. Like, we'd go do something, hang out with them. And
yeah.
That worked really nice.
So what was it when you guys were sitting at Dockside and you're just like hanging out and chatting? What was it about each other that you were like, oh, I want to keep talking to this person?
I mean, it was just fun. It was easy, I guess. Yeah. The main thing is like, it didn't seem like, it didn't, at the time, didn't feel like, oh, I'm here trying to like date you or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like simple. Yeah. Just hanging out and talking, and yeah, everything just kind of, I don't mm-hmm. know, it was super easy.
Yeah, it felt like we were lifelong friends.
Because even when you were leaving that night, like you guys walked to your car, and I like walked with her and her brother and his girlfriend, and we walked mm-hmm. there, and they were like talking, and I was just talking to her by the car, and he like ended up coming over. He's like, guys, I can see there's a really good connection here, but we got to get going. So like, aww. Say your goodbyes and leave.
Yeah, we got to go.
I do remember him saying that.
It was really funny.
Oh, that's funny. So after Dockside, we were all running a 5K the next morning. Mm-hmm. My family's really competitive, and my brother's not a runner, so... That was also why he wanted to leave, because he had never ran a 5K before, but we had like a bet going on who was going to beat each other.
Sure, of course.
So the next morning, Mitch also, he texted me at like 7 a.m. and I was like, oh my God, Bernie, he texted me already. Is like, is that stalkerish? Or
I didn't think anything of it. And then like the group I was with, one of the girls, she's like, you did not text her, did you? And I'm just like, oh, is that a bad thing to do? And she's like, you can't do that.
You know, at 7 in the morning?
I'm like, it's already done.
Ollie, it was really nice. It was sweet. It was like, good luck. I hope your race goes well, whatever. Yeah, so besides Mitch giving his phone number to other people, he also labels girls in his phone first name and last name where he met them.
Sure.
So my name in his phone, even though we've been married now for multiple years, is still Kayla Breezy.
It's an easy way to remember.
Tries it not.
Yeah.
Bad with names, so it's an easy way to remember.
Still being married. Not Kayla White.
So casually, I'm like, okay, so let's go through his phone and see, you know, Tara Minneapolis. I don't know. Like, who else is still in here? No, I'm just kidding.
Kayla Breezy. Yep.
Kayla Breezy. I'm like, someday your daughter's going to pick up the phone and be like, who's Kayla Breezy?
Yeah. That's right. Or, you know, like in like the in case of emergency kind of thing. Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't call Kayla Breezy.
No.
I'd be like, okay, he talks to her a lot, but yeah.
Should we call this girl or not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. So you guys start kind of hanging out. You chat all night. He texts you bright and early in the morning. Good luck. Okay. Yep. When's the next time that you see each other?
The next day.
The next day. Okay.
Out back out on the lake.
Oh, yeah. True.
Because we went back out and spent the whole day on the lake. And okay. That was the that night I went back to your house with your whole, like her whole family. Yeah. And ended up showing up like brothers and more people.
Yeah.
We had a big 4th of July party.
Like a big group was at her house. Ended up going back there with mm-hmm. them to her house. Mm-hmm. Which also is probably a little crazy that you pick up a random stranger on the lake. Yeah. Go and hang out with your whole family for the very next day.
Yes.
So I hung out with her whole family for like the whole next evening, the whole next night.
Yeah.
So what was your family's reaction when they're like, okay, so this guy that you just met yesterday, mm-hmm. and your parents had already seen him and obviously thought that he was something.
Yeah.
So what's kind of the rest of the family's reaction?
You asked my mom last night, and my mom, dad, what'd they say?
Well, I was just like, how did that go? Like having a random guy all of a sudden at your house hanging out with you. And she's like, didn't really think anything of it, I guess, at the time. Like, it just was.
I think it was just a natural fit from the beginning that was like, I don't know, they could either see our connection or mm-hmm. just like he fit within our family. So,
yeah,
kind of moved fast and quick. Then after that, we also super random. He's like, my buddy has a cabin on this lake. Do you know where Palmer is? I'm like, I start laughing. I'm like, yeah, it's like 10 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's basically where I grew up, you know, Dwell and Palmer area. He's like, oh, we're all going to a cabin. So like that same group was going to a different friend's cabin. So we had met up there a couple weeks later. And then you came, we both kind of traveled back and forth quite a bit going on dates. And then, let's see, so that was 2018. In 2020, right? 2019, I got pregnant. So I moved down to Glencoe with Mitch. We had our first daughter 2 weeks before COVID. March of 2020.
And so you didn't have any kids prior. Did you have any kids prior?
Nope.
Okay, so this is, you guys are just like right out the gate and you're like, okay, now this is, now we're starting.
We both kind of, obviously I had been married before and I kind of had an attitude about it and was like, I could care less if I ever get married again. Of course I would, but it just wasn't like top priority for me, right?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. once you've been there, you're kind of like, all right.
Yeah. Had you had kids kind of in your, because so then for your journey it was like, was that something that you had always wanted? And then when everything was happening with Kyle, it was just like, okay, this isn't going to happen, but you knew still someday that was what you wanted. Okay.
Yeah, 100%. I knew, we both knew we wanted kids, and he's
we talked about that, and mm-hmm. she was always like kind of more, I think, joking with me like, oh, I'm never getting married again.
I'll have a bunch of babies with you, but yeah,
it's like, yeah, we both knew we wanted kids, but she's like, I don't really know about getting married. So I was like, well, I don't care, like,
yeah,
you know, we knew at the time, we're like, we're ready to have a kid. Let's see what happens. And if we get married down the road, we get married.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we did things the non-traditional way, I guess you could say. Had a baby in March of 2020. What happened right before that? So right before that, a roof leaked in the house. I move into Mitch's house like prior to that. Then all of a sudden, the roof is leaking. So while I'm pregnant, we're living in the unfinished basement. Because where the bedroom and the baby's nursery is supposed to be is all getting renovated and ripped mm-hmm. up, which fine, not a big deal. Finally get that patched together, get the nursery ready quick, have a baby in March. Things are good. 2 weeks later.
Shut down.
The world is just chaos. Mm-hmm. In my job, I traveled for my job. And so it was a huge change for me mm-hmm. because obviously we all know what happened during COVID in Minnesota. Like nothing was open. So. Yeah. There came a point where I just felt like, I don't ever really feel like I had postpartum depression, but I felt like, oh my gosh, this is awful. I have to sit in my four walls with a brand new baby, and there's worse things in the world. But it was a tough time.
Well, yeah, especially when it's like everyone is kind of going through this whole thing together at the same time, and life dramatically changes.
Yeah.
It changes when you have a baby anyway, and then everything dramatically changes. And then are you farming at that point?
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're gone doing, because farming never shut down.
And for me, like, my day-to-day didn't change.
Right.
Going to the farm and work
with
my family and stuff. Like, so I would come home and I would like see like she'd be stressed out. Like she was so used to never being home. Like always mm-hmm. on the go. Mm-hmm. And so it was like very different. Like I didn't, nothing changed. So it was, for me it was pretty easy. But for her it was drastic.
Welcome to Green Thumb Etc. home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com or Facebook or Instagram at greenthumbetc. Are you a fan of the Love Story podcast? Are you wishing that there was a little bit more R-rated content to keep you going? We created the Love Story After Dark, and that's a podcast full of bonus content that can't be aired for our regularly scheduled programming. We've kept it G, PG, PG-13. This is where we get into a little bit of the R rating. So if you want to receive exclusive bonus content for the Love Story After Dark podcast, join us on Patreon, sign up for the newsletter, and you can get exclusive content right to your inbox. There's different pay scales, $5 a month audio, $10 a month video, $20 a month part of the sticker club, and $50 a month for the elite merch specifically related to the Love Story podcast After Dark. Or if you just think, I don't want to pay anything, you can find exclusive clips just by signing up to the newsletter on Patreon. Light yourself a scented candle, turn off the lights, and stay tuned for the After Dark podcast. So how did you guys kind of navigate that, like turning towards each other? Because that'd be very difficult to have to, like, your life is changing, your life is changing, your life is changing. Mm-hmm. Nothing is really changing for you. So how do you kind of work through that without, like, resenting, like, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that it's like, okay, I get off work, I come home and I just want to be home. And now I come home to you and you're just so angry that you've had to be here. And, you know, was that a lot of, like, working through potential resentment?
Yeah, it was working through the emotions. I do think, you know, having a baby, your emotions are all over the place. At first with COVID, you didn't really know like what to do, what not to do. And then, yeah, we just figured out, I'm like, I don't know, we got to go for a drive. I actually spent a lot of time up in Breezy Point at my parents' mm-hmm. because I was on maternity leave for 3 months and at least you could go walk around outside or be on the lake up there. So actually, like, for the first couple of months, I spent a lot of time up north.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you would come when you didn't have to work or whatever. But yeah, there was a lot of, I don't know. Like, how can I help you? Just kind of working through it together.
Yeah. Well, my kids were in middle school, I think, at the time. So it was kind of one of those where it was like, I couldn't imagine having a brand new baby where it's like, I am the sole provider of all of your care and everything. And the world is trying to kill everyone. Mm-hmm. So like, now you've got a baby and you've got that extra stress that's going into it too. That's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. But we made it through. Yeah. And now it's 5 years later. It's like,
isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just the one.
And then we got married in 2021.
Okay.
Which was also interesting because if you remember, weddings got pushed. Yep. So trying to find a venue in 2021 was
so
like.
Who proposed? Because yeah. You're like, okay, because you're like, I'm not going to do this. And so then you're like, I think I'm going to propose. Oh, yeah. I think she'll say yes. Had you talked about it again?
Yeah. So we talked about it enough to know like that she would say yes. So yeah, we were actually on a trip in Florida with your parents.
Did they know that you were going to propose?
Not until we got there.
Oh,
as I went
okay.
for a walk with her dad, just randomly, we were out hanging out. And I was just like, so we knew we were going to go beach somewhere and go for a walk, whatever, on the beach. And I was like, yeah, later when we're on the beach, I'm going to propose.
Yeah.
With you. And he's like, you know, whatever, yeah, and stuff. And I'm like, but you kind of got to help me do it. And he's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we got to, like, kind of make sure she doesn't find out and, you know, set it up. Like, I have the ring in my pocket, but, like, mm-hmm. let's try to make sure she doesn't think anything's coming. And it actually worked out, like, pretty perfect.
Yeah, it did. But first, talk about what happened at TSA.
Oh, yeah, because we flew to Florida.
Sure.
And I had the ring and, like, for whatever, a random check. So, like, they had to pull apart my whole bag and everything.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, do yeah. not pull that ring.
Yeah.
Like, and we're all standing there watching them do it.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily, they didn't. But I'm, like, sitting there, that's going to wreck the whole thing. He's going to pull yep. it out and be like, what's this?
Yeah, now I have to propose
right there.
Yes. Yeah. What was it, TSA?
At the time, I just was, like, sweating a little bit.
I wonder how many times TSA has forced a proposal by going through somebody's bag.
I bet it's happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Yes, we got engaged.
Yes.
Florida.
Engaged in Florida. You didn't. Did you see it coming or did you not see it coming?
I didn't really see it. I thought at some point, yes, it's probably
yeah.
coming. I didn't think that it was going to happen in Florida, so that was a surprise. And then we ended up on a random beach in Naples. And there was a restaurant right there. And Shout out to a random that took pictures of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Maybe even a video. Yeah. I don't remember. They come up to us after and they're like, what's your phone number? And it was at sunset. Oh, so it was super so beautiful. Sweet. And he had our daughter on his lap and was like, you know. Mm-hmm.
That worked though. Like I planned to do it right at that time, but I didn't realize like my surroundings.
Yeah.
And right behind us was that bar and people.
I think you were really nervous.
Oh.
So like they recorded it and then after we're like yelling, like
they were all cheering.
Like,
cheering.
And then the lady like yelled like, for me to come over and like she like had pictures and a video and then she sent them to us. So like I didn't even plan for that, but it worked out really cool.
Yeah. I love people. That's one of those things where people are just like, oops, something's happening. Let's just,
Yeah, they watched it. And then it was great because my parents just kind of got to be a part of it and didn't have to worry about capturing it and all that. So we just all got to live in the moment, which was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. So we came back. So my first wedding was a classic Central Minnesota, big as you can, invite every Tom, Dick, and Harry winter wedding.
Yep.
And I guess if you're going to do it again, you probably don't want the same thing. So I was like, I actually really wanted a destination wedding because once you've planned one wedding, you're like, I never want to do this again. You weren't opposed to destination, but you had family members that you're like, it just would never work.
We're a farm with livestock, so
and
that, someone would have to be there to feed them.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, we could do this, but that means somebody in my family is not coming.
Yes. So it's like, okay, what's the next best thing? Well, we live in an area where there's a ton of outdoor barn venues, and there was a brand new one opening. So we got lucky because a lot of the other ones was like, well, you can have a Sunday wedding or a random Friday wedding. It just wasn't like. So we decided on September 11th of all dates, just kind of what was available in September. And we got married at South Glen Farm in Glencoe at about 230 people. And I don't know, it was just really cool. We still have a lot of people that are like, that was one of the coolest weddings. We got married on the property. Our daughter Kyla was the flower girl, so that was awesome. My dad sang, and one of our good friends was the officiant. We had food trucks, so that was kind of cool and different. So it was a perfect day.
That's
perfect
awesome.
Weather day. So, yeah.
Okay, so highlights, food trucks, obviously.
Yeah.
What about you, Mitch? What were some of the highlights of the day? Like, did you cry when she came down the aisle?
I don't think so.
No. You're not really a crier.
No. Farm stock.
My takeaway from was that everything just was simple.
Like
everyone always says it's so stressful and, you know, whatever, which I mean, she had so much planned ahead of it. I didn't really do a whole lot ahead of it, but like the whole day, everything just was easy and fun, relaxing. Like, which kind of, I wasn't prepared for that side of it. I was like trying to think what could go wrong, what, you know, what issues are we going to have. And there's like nothing.
So, I think once you've been through it, but also the venue, like they supplied all the centerpieces and like, that's why we kind of chose them too. I'm like,
hey,
I don't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah, just show up
and
party.
Second time, it's like, don't really care about some of those details, you know? So, yeah.
That was good.
Did you cry when you saw Kyla?
Oh, that was probably closer.
Daddy, so she would have daddy's been, girl.
She would have been just a little thing, huh?
About 1.5.
Yeah.
Just walking out.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have this big, beautiful day.
Yep.
Everybody full of love, peace, happiness, all of that. Okay, and then what's life like?
2021. Then in 2022, we had our son, Crew. So kind of crazy things that I will say relate to my first marriage. Kyla, her due date was February
28th, right?
Yeah, whatever the leap year day would be.
29th.
And I was like, over my dead body, am I having a leap year baby?
Yes.
I thought it would have been cool. Been
probably would have been, but whatever. My first wedding anniversary was February 22nd. So I was like, okay, that would be interesting if we had her. Well, I ended up going late and we had her in March, but then Crew comes along and his due date was December 22nd. Kyle, my first husband's birthday is December 24th. And I'm like, okay, again, that's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I ended up getting induced because one, I did not want to have a Christmas baby. We went in on the 20th. So he was born on the 20th. And I actually had always said that I wanted to have twins. And there's a reason God didn't give me twins, because I don't think I could actually handle that. But I said, boy, girl, perfect. Be pregnant one time. And we have that. So we have boy, girl, pregnant two times. Very fun, very different personalities. Boys are so different. But awesome.
Yeah.
And I think for you, like, we always had the conversation, if we had two girls, would you be okay with that? Because with farming, there's a legacy. He's fifth generation. We were just talking, actually. Land in his family has been in his family since before Minnesota became a state.
Oh, wow.
So, like, 1857, his family has owned acres in their area.
Wow.
Not that you want to force your kids into any sort of career, but with farming, it kind of naturally happened.
Yeah.
So, he's like, if we had a girl, I think I'd be okay. We both kind of were like, I don't think we want more than two kids.
Yeah.
I think you just realize that. Like, it's so funny when you go back to your younger self. I'm going to have five kids.
Yeah.
And I'm going to name them this. And then life happens and you're like, hell no. I ain't having five kids.
Yeah.
Or I'm not having any kids. You know, you just don't know. Two kids, but boy, girl ended up exactly kind of how we imagined. So that was 2022. What do we do in 2023? Oh, 2022, we had crew. In the midst of crew, we decided we should build a house.
Well, because you're so used to renovating while you're pregnant. So it's just, just keep it going.
And I still had, or no, my house was gone at that point. Okay. So obviously when we met, we both had houses. So at one point I had to sell my house, move to Glencoe. His house, his roof falls apart.
Was that a hard choice to leave kind of the central Minnesota area and go down there?
Yeah, for sure. My entire life has been in central Minnesota. A lot of my friends are around here. My family's around here. But I am adventurous. Mm-hmm. Like, I love to travel. So I was willing to take that risk. Obviously, with his career, you can't move farmland. You can't.
Right.
And it's like, okay. I mean, we did have deep conversations about that. Like, maybe we can live halfway in between. Because my job was still in central Minnesota at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you were willing to do that. Like, it would have been a lot harder for him and his situation. But we did have really deep conversations about that. And there was times where Mitch actually went to college to be a school counselor.
Oh, okay.
Psychology
major. First year. That's what I started as, yeah.
Sure.
And then he switched to ag business. And I think the counselor's like, I've never seen this in my life.
My advisor told me, he's like, you sure that's what you want to do?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, never seen that before, but all right.
I think I might do psychology or stick to animals.
Yep. So we had deep conversations that, you know, like, maybe I don't want to do farming forever. But ultimately, we figured it out. And yeah, it was hard. But it hasn't been that hard being away. Like, I am used to, especially for my job, I'm used to, like, driving and traveling. And I personally like car time. Yeah. Listen to podcasts or music.
Yes.
And I think our kids, literally, COVID, you know, I drove 2+ hours to my parents' place. And so I always joke, I was like, our kids are so used to the car since day one.
I think it's actually helped, like, our kids, like, we can go pretty much anywhere with them and they're just used to it.
Yep.
We try to keep them on a somewhat of a schedule, but it's like, there is nothing really, like, they're comfortable riding in cars, they're comfortable going to random places, like, seeing, you know, with kind of like two separate sets of friends, like, we can go to her parents' place and hang out with her whole group of friends, and, like, they're just comfortable being around.
Yeah.
You know, new people. And so I think it's actually helped that the kids, you know.
Our kids will talk to strangers, which I don't know if that's a good thing. But
yes. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have kind of been, so where did you settle now? Did you have to drive far to get up here today?
Well, my parents are in central Minnesota, so we end up staying at their house a lot. But yeah, otherwise we're about an hour from St. Cloud, roughly.
Okay.
So I do spend quite a bit of time commuting back and forth. Obviously, Indy Foundation office is here in central Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Meetings are here and whatnot, but I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
So then how early on in your relationship did the fact that, like, hey, I was married, he passed away, like, I would imagine probably right away with the way that you guys are kind of talking, but...
Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't know until, I mean, later on, I guess, after first couple times meeting him.
Yeah.
Then I think I, like...
Did you Google me?
I think I added you on Facebook or looked you up on Facebook and, like, scrolled through it and then realized, like,
sure,
she must have been married or something
happened.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we really talked about it for, like, it was, like, a little while before we talked about it.
How do you bring that up?
Right.
So for me, that was a very, I kind of waited for him to be like, hey, have him ask me about it. I don't know. It's weird. Like, to me, when you're divorced, you can be like, yeah, you know what? I'm divorced. He sucked. We moved on. Mm-hmm. To me, it was so much deeper, and I probably, you know, I was only a year out, so I didn't work through a lot of that grief yet. I had started a foundation right away, and so
I think it was, like, actually quite a while before we actually talked about it, because I remember, like, knowing that there was some story there, but kind of, like, either didn't know how to ask or was waiting for you to bring it up or whatever. So I think it was, like, we hung out for like a long time before either one of us really like asked about it or talked
Yeah,
about
there's like a sense of protection there. I don't know. And then I'm like, gosh, what is he gonna think, you know, stepping into all of this? Like, it takes a special person to be like, okay, you have a nonprofit of this individual that you once loved and probably still love. I just remember you telling me, and I still think this is funny to this day. And if you know his brother is like a classic farmer. Like, just imagine, like, farming is his life. And like, he's pretty quiet. So for him to say this is funny. And he's like, well, Mitch, it's not like he's coming back into the picture anytime soon. And I was like,
Very matter of fact.
it's like, well, that is true. Like, it's very, with divorce, it can be messy and there's still feelings and communication. And this is a little bit different. So I think, yes, we talked about it. And then actually, we met in July, August. Quiet Oaks does their butterfly release. And Kyle went to Quiet Oaks at his end of life. And so we went to that together.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty
That's
cool.
cool.
It was pretty moving. Actually, I don't think I've been back to that since, but that is a cool event. And so yeah, we went to that and I don't know. I'm sure more of the story came out over time and then as Indie evolved, we've had a lot more conversations over the years. I don't know. What's your perspective on?
I don't know. Like, I didn't really think much of it right away. It was like, it just is what it is. You know, there wasn't like one way or the other. It wasn't like it really bothered me one way or I wasn't like I was worried about it. It just, how do you like bring it up or how do you talk about it the initial time? But once we talked about it like the first time, I got never was uncomfortable with it or never, I don't know. It just is something that is there. It's didn't really change anything. And
I think I realized, isn't there a sports broadcaster, Adam?
oh, Adam Scheffler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like so right as I met her, he came out with a book about his wife at the time. Her husband passed away in 9/11, like was in the
Okay.
World Trade
Oof.
Center and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he just wrote a book about being
Net
the like the next husband, kind of
chapter
like
two
what
yeah, or
that's like, you
whatever.
know,
Yeah.
and stuff. So I like I, it just happened to be like at the exact same time we
Wow.
met that he had released this book and like I whatever just knew who he was. So I got the book and read it, and it was kind of a cool way of like perspective of what I was kind of getting into.
Ooh, the man I
Ooh,
never met. That gives me chills.
Yeah.
Okay, so takeaways from the book then for you reading it, like what was your kind of.
A big part of it's like there's a life before you know, so
Yeah.
it's like, and you're not replacing it. So it's
Sure.
a lot of it was kind of cool to read it to like then to kind of think about it that way. It was like, I'm not replacing, I'm not taking someone's spot, but it is, there's a life before me. So like, I need to respect that or like be willing to continue that side of life too. And so it helped me just be comfortable with somebody like reading that and being like, well, someone else already had kind of thought of that, you know, kind of deal. Like,
Yeah.
you're stepping into this, it is a very unique situation, but like you're just adding now, you're adding on to that, you're not changing it or erasing it, you know.
Oh, God, I'm incredibly weepy. This is.
He did a really great job of honoring that I did have, you know, a life before. And I think some of our conversations have been hard. Like, maybe it wasn't, you know, my life wasn't what I envisioned, obviously, right? No one puts down on a piece of paper that you want to become a widow and start your life over, especially at 28. And it was really kind of a weird time for me because my friends had been married. Now they're having baby showers. I never had resentment, but there was times where it's like I was happy for them, of course, but deep down I was like, well, this sucks,
Yeah,
you know?
you can be happy for them and sad for you at the same time.
It was, and my friends really, they didn't know how to support me either. Again, you're 28. There's no book that tells you. Most of us have maybe never even experienced a death before. And I know for you too, like you had never really had anybody super close to you pass away. So it was, you know, how do you navigate? I think there were days where he didn't always realize like why my mood had changed or like what was going on. And for me, it wasn't gonna be like, well, today is Kyle's birthday or today is our wedding anniversary. And the hard part is for the first couple of years, a lot of people reach out to you. You know, like I had friends like, hey, thinking of you, it's your anniversary today. And,
Does
you
that
know,
help or does it?
it did help. I think it's better. I'll never forget. I worked a desk job and it was, so it would have been right after I met Mitch, actually. So I met Mitch July 4th and Kyle's heaven anniversary. He died on July 31st. So that first year, that first week kind of leading up to when he passed away, like all those memories just come fluttering back.
Yep.
what you experienced. Where did a year go? But I remember sitting at my desk and I work with all dudes and I'm just bawling. And I can just see them around me, like, because I'm getting text messages and I'm getting videos and like, it's all very thoughtful, but it's like, so, you know, Jason Frank, and he's like, can I get you water? Is there anything I can do for you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just got to work through this day. And I actually realized from then, I decided on Kyle's heaven anniversary to celebrate it and to do the things that he liked to do. I got all my girlfriends together and we always just like go shopping or have lunch or something that day to kind of like celebrate his memory. I used to go to his gravestone and do that, but now kind of live far away and haven't done that as much. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a process. Just when you think it's like not there, there's moments, or I'll be like, oh my gosh, some random person, like, you remind me of him, or you hear his song. And there's just been some really weird moments. Any that you...
I just, like, right away, I was, like, just really bad with it in the sense that, like, I didn't, like, I had, like you said, I hadn't really lost anybody or anything like that. So, like, I didn't know what I was, like, looking for. So there would be, like, times where I could see that she was, like, sad or something was bothering her. It'd be like 3 or 4 days later, I'd find out like, oh, it was because this was the day, or, you know, this happened. Like, we'd be talking and like, you would tell me like this happened. But I wish I would have been better at knowing that was going to be there, or picking up on that faster or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, since then, like, we talk about it more and more. So like, it's been easier for me to pick up on or know what's coming, or, you know, kind of be what I'm watching for a little bit. So, I mean, not that I can really do anything about it, but it's like, at least I know.
Yeah. Make space.
Maybe just, give her the day, or, you know, whatever. And
I was lucky in the aspect that Kyle and I had life conversations. He told me, he's like, I want you to be happy again. I want you to find someone that's going to treat you like I did. And I want you to have kids that, you know, we never got to have and do and build a life together. So I think for me, I had that peace of mind of like already his approval. In a way,
it's that extra like little thing of just like, I don't want to disrespect this person. Yeah. So the fact that you did have those conversations to know, like, yeah, this is, I'm not betraying anybody. I'm not, you know,
Because I had a friend who her husband actually died the exact same day, 1 year earlier as Kyle did, in a car accident. And she had kids. She never got to have those conversations. She had a different element with having kids. And she started dating someone shortly after he passed away. You also have to deal with people's opinion. She moved on too fast. She moved on too slow. Like, everybody has an opinion about everything. So you have that in the back of your mind too, like a little bit of judgment. What are people going to think? I definitely felt that way at first when I started dating you.
Well, you had a whole foundation essentially created too. So people are looking at you and they're wanting to kind of, like, how do you balance living in, like, not living in, like, the, for lack of a better term, the trauma porn of, you know, constantly going back and telling your story while also moving on.
That was really hard for me. I was in the spotlight essentially for indie, but then I realized like I wanted to have this private life, so it just kind of changed how I did things. I only brought him around certain friends at first because I didn't know how some friends would feel. So not only was I navigating my own emotions, I was cognizant of other people's emotions and feelings too. But overall, I think, I don't know, you just work through it and you figure it out. And
It didn't affect me, but I knew it affected her. How people were, you know, like you said, everyone has an opinion. So how they treated you was different than how, like, I was being treated in those situations. But, like, the best part was it that a couple of, like, her really close friends that we hung out with were also, like, close with you and Kyle. And one of them's, like, one of Kyle's best friends. And, like, very early in our relationship, we were hanging out with them. Like, they had a huge party. Everyone's in their shed. And everyone, somehow it ended up being that everybody was outside and it was just me and him in the shed. And he came up to me and he, like, how are you handling this? I'm like, has nothing to do with me. He's like, no, he's like, how do you feel about this whole situation? Like, you personally, just your feelings. And I was like, that was the first time anybody had like kind of asked me that. So I thought that was really cool. And we talked for a while. And then he, like, at the end, he's just like, you know, I think Kyle would have really, and
like,
that made me feel like then everything was okay. Like, so that was really cool.
And that friend was one who, like, the last couple of weeks, Kyle became, it must be when you know, like, you're not going to be here on Earth anymore. Like, what do you have to share with people? So he was really, he shut down a lot and wouldn't talk to people. But this friend came over every day and just made sure, like, they talked about when they were 16 and the dumb stuff that they did. And he really was, really good at making sure they got to just be friends at the end. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they ever had like certain conversations, or Kyle told all of his buddies, like, please just make sure Kayla's okay. That was his only request for anything. So I don't know. I think Corey sometimes feels a sense of responsibility in a way. We were very fortunate in that respect. But there were friends or friend groups that I didn't necessarily, I don't know, my friend group kind of changed too, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one piece that I wasn't prepared for, or you really can't be prepared for, is there's people that are no longer a part of my life and I didn't talk to after Kyle passed away. And that's naturally going to happen, right? Whether it's a divorce or my situation. So that piece was hard. It's part of growing up too, right? Like, you don't have the same friends necessarily as you did in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So it was navigating through some of that. And I don't know, you are a natural fit. I always tell people, I'm like, I always put myself in other people's shoes, especially after what I've been through. You just never know what people are going through. But for a human, a guy or a woman to step into a situation and not let it bother them, or, you know, some people might be jealous that, hey, I don't even know what your life was like before you loved someone before me, you were married, all these things. I think it did help that you weren't from the area, in a sense, because there was pros and cons to that. Like, we would go to events and then I was like, I'm so used to, I think it was our first wedding together. I'll never forget this.
Oh, yeah.
It was our first wedding together, and I am a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. So when Kyle and I went to weddings, I probably didn't see him very often because we're off talking to people, right?
Mm-hmm. This was like 3 months into no, like very early.
Sure. We're at a wedding and I'm talking to everyone, and all of a sudden I was like, crap, where's Mitch? And he's sitting outside on his phone because he didn't know anybody. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I called on my friends and I'm like, I'm not real sure what to do here. I'm like, I know about one other person.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone else is like at weddings, you know, they're in their little like groups talking.
Yeah.
I don't really know how I should just like pop into a group and be like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Mitch.
Yeah.
Well, I'm dating Kayla over there. Really.
Yeah, that was girlfriend fail. But again, Kyle and I both grew up, you know everyone in your community. So it was learning some of that.
Yeah.
And then same thing, you did it to me later in your town too. So just working through that. But I do think being from different communities, that did help a lot. I just asked him this question on the way. I said, if you could describe our relationship in one word, what would it be? What'd you say?
Unique.
Yeah.
Or like,
and easy. Like you said from the beginning, you know, I said like, what makes me different or what attracted you? He's like, it was just always easy. It wasn't hard to have conversation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't hard to.
Truly Kayla Breezy. Just, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. Breezy.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, everything, every step along the way has just been like, it just felt natural, simple. There was no like ever a thought of how do we do this kind of deal. It just came naturally.
Through, you know, when you are kind of going up and going through life, whatever, I don't know, just kind of putting yourself in other positions or hearing stories or whatever you think about things. And I think they always thought would be just the hardest thing would be, you know, could I ever date someone who had someone pass away or whatever, you know? And it feels one of those just through ignorance. It's just one of those, like, I've never experienced it. And I also hadn't had any loss in my life either. So it was just this like too big of a concept for me to think like that would be too hard. I don't think I could do that. I think the beautiful thing about your guys' story, you had the loss of someone that you cared about and you were able to have those healing conversations while you were together as he was, you know, onto his next journey, and then how that had kind of helped bridge the gap. And then to truly find someone who cared enough about your heart to be tender with it and to say like, hey, there's this book that could kind of fit perfectly in how I can relate to this woman. And then he just read it and whatever. So when you see a relationship between two people where it's just, yes, it's easy, but it's not easy because it's easy. It's easy because you are willing to put in the work needed to be done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's very evident in your relationship, and it's very fortunate.
Yes.
I'm going to try to say this without crying, but it's very fortunate that you were able to find someone who just seamlessly fit into your life and so tenderly cared about you. And what a beautiful gift that you were able to give to not just to her, but to, you know, her late husband too, to be able to come in and say like, I got this, you know.
Yeah. He truly embraced me for who and what I am. So I'm grateful for that.
What a beautiful story, you guys. I don't think we can handle any more emotions in this tiny little room. And Abby gave us the 45 minutes a few minutes ago. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. You two are just two beautiful humans out in the world and out truly genuinely caring about each other. And you can see that you're building a beautiful family together.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out info@lovestoryweddingshow.com or head to the show notes.